Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez-Sardina.
He is risen! The Lord is risen from the dead. That is the song of Christians. The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is truly risen, as he said, alleluia, alleluia. For centuries, Christians the world over have been celebrating the fact that Christ defeated death. He killed death. Death is dead. Life is alive. And Jesus is alive and well. And he is inviting each one of us, knocking at the door of our hearts, to enter in, to sup with us, to dine with us, to give us his very body and blood, soul and divinity as our food. Will you welcome him? Will you season it up? Will you enjoy this Easter Sunday, Easter octave, and Easter season, 50 days of glorious celebration, and come closer to Jesus to receive the new life that he has won for you? You are one by one, one who is God Almighty. Enjoy Easter, enjoy the resurrection, enjoy Jesus.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
And welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It is Easter week. The Lord is risen, and we are celebrating here. We are happy, full of joy, and it's open forum, too. Just one more reason to be joyful today. Open forum means if you have a question about the Catholic faith, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you're not a Catholic, maybe something came up over the Easter weekend during your visits or your stop into church, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Maybe you are a Catholic. Maybe you're a brand new Catholic. Maybe the Easter Vigil was the date of your entry into eternal life, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour and next hour, the one, the only, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hi, Tim.
Were you talking to me?
I was. I was like going on a bit long.
Happy Easter, my friend.
Happy Easter. I do feel happy. I feel very happy. I was getting myself very fired up for the Easter show by listening to The Lively Ones. That's a 1960s surf band.
Oh,
I,
okay.
Got all fired up. How was your Easter?
It was fantastic. Really was. We started a new tradition last year on Holy Thursday. Did we do it before or after we went to Mass? I think it might have been after. Boy, that tells you how good my memory is. That was just Holy Thursday. But we have lamb a rack of lamb. I like it bone in, my friend, but my wife just does masterfully with lamb. I'm not a lamb fan, but my wife just does an amazing job. So anyway, we have lamb. I think there's a symbol there.
Yes. You had a little Agnus.
Yes, that's right. Agnus. And just the whole Triduum and Easter Sunday was really special, just being with the family and everything. And plus the Easter egg hunts and getting eggs crushed on our heads and stuff like that.
Wait,
that's important too.
Eggs crushed on your heads? I'm not familiar with that part. Is that yes. They're hard-boiled eggs?
Yes.
And they crack them
on
your head?
No, not hard-boiled. What we do is throughout the year we get the egg out. You just tap a hole in one side and get the egg out, scramble your eggs and save the eggs, let them dry, and then you put confetti in them.
You guys are like the heroes of the holidays. You're like Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
You guys really do it up.
We do. It's the Mexican in my wife and the sentimentalist in me. We're the perfect storm. But it's great. We still have tons of eggs left. So we try to celebrate throughout the 7 weeks of Lent, of Easter. So we'll give them surprises in their Easter baskets, you know, pepper them throughout the...
What a great thing.
So the Easter basket will last. We have an Easter tree, too. We didn't tell you that, Si.
I don't even know what that would be. Wait, an Easter tree. I got to think about it. I don't know.
It's like a Christmas tree, except it's got Easter decorations.
Gosh. Well, that is great. You know, every child should be born into the Staples household. I don't know why children are born in any other household. My children, if they heard this, would be very angry. They've grown up. They've left. And they missed all of that.
And they didn't have an Easter tree?
No. We totally.
You know whose idea it was, though? And I know she's listening right now. It was my daughter Rose's idea.
Oh, good job, Rose.
Little tree and
very
and,
smart.
And they make homemade little eggs and stuff and hang them on the tree. So, yeah, we try, you know, Christmas kind of, even though in the order of grace, of course, Easter is the pinnacle of the liturgical calendar. It is the mother of all feast days. You know, Christmas kind of gets the lion's share of attention.
No, but the great feast is the resurrection of the Lord.
Amen. It is the greatest feast, but let's face it, though. Come on, they're both important because without Christmas, there is no Easter.
But, no, right. I'm not quibbling.
Yes.
Right. You usually tell us a whole bunch of Christmas movies. Do you have an Easter movie?
We do. Every year, of course, we watch The Passion of the Christ, even though that's Lent. We watch it at the tail end here on Holy Week. The kids who can. This year, our 13-year-old was able to watch it for the first time.
Right.
As we thought
13
he was ready
the,
for
is the cutoff for you.
Well, it depends upon the individual. Luke, he's a strong kid. He's very strong in the faith. So. Uh-huh. We let him do it at 13. But we also have, come on, Fred Astaire, Judy Garland, Easter Parade.
Oh.
Not
is
exactly.
Is that the one where they, does she meet, sing Meet Me in St. Louis in that one? Or is
no,
that a different one?
Oh, that's Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh.
And that's a great, that too is a great holiday period because they go through different holidays in that movie, kind of like Holiday Inn, which is a movie we watch in every holiday season because they go through all the holidays, but also the Ten Commandments. You have to watch the Ten Commandments.
Oh, that's right. The Ten Commandments was traditionally it was on TV during Easter weekend.
Yes, I think it was.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
I think it was this year. But we, of course, we have them all on video, so we
pop in the video and
yes. Gosh, what a wonderful holiday season. And He is risen, folks. Rejoice. This is a glorious time.
I love that we get to pray Queen of Heaven Rejoice at this time. It's beautiful. What do you call it? Regina Caeli.
Regina Caeli.
If we do it in Latin, I have to really work to remember. Okay, we're at this part, so I know what they're saying. But because that's what Father Hugh did today.
Yes,
Latin. I'm going to talk to him about that. I needed an English, Father. We got a bunch of calls, Tim. Shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, Carol in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone, Carol. Happy Easter, and your question for Tim.
Hi, happy Easter.
Thank you.
I had somebody use 1 Corinthians 5:12 with me to say that we should not be judging the actions of non-Christians because Paul says we're not supposed to judge outsiders. Right. And that just doesn't sound right to me. So I wanted to find out what that verse is all about.
Yeah, that's really taking that verse out of context. Now, the context is one, if you back up to 1 Corinthians 5, the first five verses, where Paul is dealing with issues within the community of believers. In fact, he famously excommunicates the man who is in a public open relationship with his stepmom there in verse 5, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. So this is talking about here a way that helps, I think, folks understand this is think about the code of canon law. The code of canon law is not for outsiders. This is how we run the church. So we don't say folks outside of the church are bound to, for example, canonical form when it comes to marriage. And why would they be? Because this is something that is our law, ecclesiastical law. Now, of course, divine law, you get into areas where, of course, it applies to everyone. You know, don't kill your neighbor and that sort of thing. But what Paul's clearly talking about here are judging believers with regard to things within the community. We don't judge folks, we don't go to Muslims and say, hey, you guys need to celebrate the Triduum. Come on, get with the program, folks, right? This is how you do it. Now, that's not going to go very far with our Muslim friends, but that's basically what's going on here. This is not talking about the moral law, which of course binds all human beings. I love the way Pope St. John Paul the Great says it in paragraph 73, of the gospel of life. He says that the moral law binds all nations as well as all individuals because it's rooted in human nature. It is the law that Paul's talking about in Romans 2:14 when he says the law written on the heart. So thou shalt not kill is not a Catholic-only club, but canonical form for marriage or excommunication. We're not going to excommunicate a Baptist. Why? Because he's not under the code of canon law because he's not Catholic. So that's kind of what's going on. Does that help at all, Carol?
Yeah, and would it be accurate to say that the passage refers to the ability of the church to discipline? I mean, basically the authority of the church to do that over people?
Absolutely. It's the authority of the church to discipline on matters ecclesiastical. Now, that there's overlap, of course, because, you know, St. Paul is dealing with a point of the moral law when he excommunicates the fellow for having relations with his stepmother. But still, that's in the context of disciplining members of the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we can't say to folks that are outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church that having those kinds of relations are wrong, because that is a point of the moral law. We just simply do not have the authority to enforce ecclesiastical law on people that are not Catholic. Ten Commandments? Absolutely. That binds everyone.
Thank you very, very much, Carol. Appreciate that call. 888-318-7884 is our number here. The store-wide spring sale continues. It's more spring than ever. After Easter, that's as springy as it gets. And if there's anything you want to grab there from Catholic Answers, whether it's the brand new book from Don Eden, something from Jimmy Akin, or our guest today, Tim Staples, who is the author of Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines. Great time to read that book during the Easter season. Just put in the promo code SPRING19 at checkout. Save 15% off store-wide at shop.catholic.com.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
You have just a beautiful compassion and an affirmation of every caller. You zone right in to each person's need, and then you ask all of us to pray for that person, and I do. I just think you really, really have a great ministry. You just really are tonic and concentrated multiple vitamins for all of us spiritually.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live, open forum, 2 hours with Tim Staples today. If you've got a question about the Catholic faith, we'd love it if you'd call 888-318-7884. We go now to EJ in Lagos, Nigeria, watching on Periscope. You're the one that watches on Periscope. EJ, happy to have you here. Your question for Tim.
There's two.
Yes,
not indeed. Just one.
Yes, indeed, I do. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, welcome. Happy Easter.
So I'm a lifelong Catholic. The same to you. Happy Easter to you, too. I am a lifelong Catholic. I was having dinner with some non-Catholic friends the other night, and the subject of the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church came up.
Yes.
And they point-blank asked me, you know, why is the Church covering this up? Why haven't you guys, why haven't there been criminal charges pressed against the priests that are alleged for having done certain things? And I found myself not having any particularly good answers. The first thing that came to my mind was, look, it's not all priests. It's very, very, very few. But that really wasn't good enough. And I find that the church is really under a lot of pressure, and this has been used as an excuse to attack the church. And I would love to just have some better answers to give next time.
Yeah, great question, EJ. And first of all, there have been prosecutions, absolutely. Some of them very much in the papers even now. In fact, Cardinal Pell has been charged. When I looked into it, it looks as though the charges are bogus there. But yes, there have been priests, there have been bishops, even a cardinal charged. And we as Catholics believe that anyone who would abuse a child ought to be charged. In fact, as far as the cover-up goes, it's a complex answer in one sense, in that back in the 70s and 80s, remember, the church was pressured. You know, bishops were told, when these offenses occurred, you send them to psychiatrists and they get a clean bill of health, and then they come back and they're put into ministry. Now, I blame the bishops for that. They should not have succumbed to the pressure of the world to rehabilitate these folks. I think if you have someone who commits a crime, they need to be, as Pope Francis, and by the way, Pope Francis has made this as clear as day. Here we have a pope who has come out. I don't know how you can get more transparent than Pope Francis. I mean, he's calling bishops and priests on the carpet all around the world. He has said this is demonic, what's happening. Those priests that are living double lives need to leave. And anyone who abuses a child should be turned over to the civil authorities for prosecution. That's from our Holy Father, Pope Francis. He's calling a spade a spade. He's saying this is demonic at its core. And we also need to mention, EJ, that, you know, you have the recent problems that have come out with the Southern Baptists. I just saw today in the news, the Boy Scouts are dealing with a widespread scandal right now of abuse among Boy Scouts. Guess what? We have a culture-wide problem of immorality. This is the problem, folks. And so this is not a Catholic-only issue. The problem pervades our culture. It is, as Father Gary Thomas has recently said, we're talking about a demonic oppression that spans the globe here. When you have a culture of pornography like we have in the Western world in particular, but now it covers the globe, that covers the globe as it does. Why are we surprised when we have problems with sexual abuse all around the globe? Because this is what you get when you reject God's law, you reject the moral law, you begin to look at human beings as sexual objects. So EJ, the problem goes way beyond just the Catholic Church. But you need to explain to your friend that the church is dealing with this head on. Like I said, the Pope is calling a spade and saying, you know, anybody that abuses a child must be turned over to civil authorities. But at the same time, EJ, we also have to remember the church also, when it comes to, see, there's a difference between sins of weakness, right, and sins of malice that are crimes. When you're talking about abusing a child, this is not just a sin of weakness. This is a sin of malice that has to be dealt with. And I've said this before, EJ, on this broadcast, if the Pope were to abuse a child, I would say turn the Pope over to the civil authorities. He should be prosecuted. He can run the church from jail if he wants to. He's the Pope. Nobody can depose him, or he can resign. That's up to him. But that is a very important point. And by the way, the Pope agrees with this, what I'm saying right now, that there can be no tolerance whatsoever for abuse of children. But when it comes to sins of weakness, the church is going to side, like our blessed Lord, with the side of mercy. And so at times, the church is accused of, you know, covering something up because she responds like our Lord did in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, with the woman caught in adultery. Remember, the mob was calling for blood. Look, she broke the law. What does Deuteronomy 21 say? I think it's 21, 22, I forget. It's somewhere in that Bible, Si.
Bible.
Ain't I becoming Catholic here?
Man, you sound like me, Tim.
That's right. But what does the Bible say? It might be chapter 22, actually, but you put them to death. You stone them. Jesus says, right? What does he say? Does he go with the mob? No. He says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And of course, that's got to be our message. Go and sin no more. But what about mercy? The church responds with mercy as well, especially when it comes to sins of weakness. So bottom line, EJ, the church is dealing with this, and I think very effectively under Pope Francis, and she will continue to. What you and I have to do is continue to pray, to live this gospel that we proclaim, and to proclaim it, because ultimately, EJ, the only source of healing for this culture of death, this sexually crazed culture in which we live, where people are spiraling out of control and they are in despair, the only answer is the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics. And we can never lose sight of that.
Okay, EJ?
I got it. Very well said. Thank you.
No, well, God bless you. Thank you for that call. First call from Africa this week. We have time. Let's go to Angel in Anaheim, California, watching on Facebook Live. That's a little bit closer. Angel, your question for Tim.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is, yesterday I was talking to a friend, and we were discussing, and she was telling me that Mary Magdalene is the same Mary that's the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and I just wanted to know if that is true, and if not, where can I find that in the Bible?
Yes.
The second question is a little bit, I'm having trouble with this. I recently heard that, as Catholics, a dogma is that there is no salvation outside the church.
Correct.
But at the same time, I hear that after Vatican Council II, the church is open to salvation out of the church. So is it a dogma? How do we take that dogma?
Right. Fair enough. Two big ones.
Two big questions. And was that Angel?
Angel. Yeah.
Angel. Great questions. Number one, I'm going to tell you a secret, but you can't tell anybody else. All right? So everybody listening, you can't tell anybody else. Yes. I do believe Mary should have been in Mass today here at Catholic Answers because Father Hugh answered this question. But I do believe Mary Magdalene is the same Mary who is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Pope St. Gregory the Great taught that. Now, I will tell you, Angel, modern Bible scholars will not agree with us, generally speaking, but you're on good solid ground traditionally to match the two. And can I tell you another secret you can't tell anybody? I also believe the woman caught in adultery is Mary Magdalene. Mel Gibson gets it right in The Passion of the Christ. But again, modern Bible scholars would take me to task
and
for that.
Wait a second. Does Pope Gregory agree with you on that one, too? Or do you remember?
I do not remember on that one, but I would bet the house.
Okay.
I'd have to look that up. So at any rate, you're on good, solid ground, and I think a lot of modern scholars need to lighten up a little bit, especially Catholics, because when you say what I just said, you know, you kind of, oh, he's
Yeah, fringe element.
Fringe. No, lighten up, because Catholics are free to believe what the Pope believes, or Pope St. Gregory the Great believes. But the other question, very important, is there salvation outside the Catholic Church? That is a dogma of our faith. And a lot of folks don't know this, Angel. It is a dogma of the faith. There is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. And Angel, this is rooted very much in the words of Jesus Christ in John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And because of the fact that the church is Jesus Christ extended into this world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, St. Paul says the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is Christ in the middle of the world. So, of course, there's no salvation apart from the Catholic Church. And again, that has been taught, and definitively so, from the Council of Florence in the 15th century, 1445, to the Council of Trent in the 16th century, to Vatican Council II. It's always funny when you hear folks say, after Vatican II, this changed. Vatican II taught it, for example, in Lumen Gentium, paragraph 14. But here's the key, Angel. We have to understand this properly in our tradition. It's not that that teaching changed, but we certainly have a developed understanding of what it means. And by the way, this didn't come from Vatican II. You can go all the way back to St. Justin Martyr in 150 AD when he writes about the possibility of those. I keep hitting the button here by accident. I was probably going in and out. Well, St. Justin Martyr in 150 AD talks about those who seek the Logos, you know, the Stoics, the Greeks who believed the Logos is kind of the substratum out of which all things come, toward which all things go. It would be an impersonal force, kind of a Star Wars sort of, you know, Logos here. But, you know, Justin Martyr talks about those who they are seeking God, they're kind of Christians without knowing it, right? There you have the possibility of those outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church who in some sense are related. Now, Lumen Gentium, paragraph 16 in the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church from Vatican Council II talks about that, how that those outside of the visible boundaries of the Church can be either related to the Church, that is, you know, be they a Hindu, a Buddhist, who is seeking the best way they know how, God, or God as they perceive God to be, and they've never rejected the truth of the Catholic faith, they have the possibility of salvation if they have supernatural faith, perfect charity in their hearts, and they're seeking God. And you know, we leave the judging, as our caller said earlier, 1 Corinthians 5:12, we leave the judging ultimately to God. 1 Corinthians 4 also, verses 3 through 6, St. Paul makes very clear we leave the judging to God. But we have this principle that we see, and not only in Justin Martyr, and not only do we see it in our tradition, Pope Pius IX, in fact, before Vatican Council II, famously really developed our understanding of the possibility of salvation to those who are outside of the visible boundaries of the Church. But again, as Lumen Gentium 16 says, they're related to the Church, that is, those who don't have any sacraments, are not Christian, or they can be joined to the Church, albeit imperfectly, if they have legitimate sacraments, like our Protestants with baptism, like the Orthodox with all seven. Tell you what I got to do. The music is playing. I want to put a bow on this on the other side of the break.
Right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Did you know that you can have me and other Catholic Answers speakers headline your next conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our dynamic speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you a convert to Catholicism?
We want to hear from you on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum on this Easter Tuesday. I learned something during this Lent that I didn't know before, that every single day of the octave is a solemnity of the church. So like this, even today is like one of the highest feasts of the church. For some reason, that button is hitting right on his the chair thing, and I've never seen it do that before. I believe you might have been speaking, and the cough button. We have these things called a cough box, a little button that Nick installed for us so that – oh, wait. Sorry, Nick. Should have used it there. I think your chair was pushing it. But we had – yes. When we left, we were talking with Angel in Anaheim, and he wanted to know two things. We talked about Mary Magdalene already. The other you wanted to put a bow on.
Yes.
Salvation outside the Catholic Church.
Yes. Wanted to put a bow on this because we need to understand that even in the text I quoted at the very beginning of this response in John 14, 1 through 6, especially John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That has to be understood properly in that the very next chapter in John 15, verse 22, Jesus says, if I had not spoken to them, now this is concerning to Jews who were rejecting him, if I had not spoken to them, they would have no sin. Now I have spoken to them, their sin remains. He says something similarly in John chapter 9, verse, I want to say 14, no, 41, John chapter 9. Verse 41, showing a little dyslexia there. John 9:41, and that is this, that you're not responsible for what you do not know.
Yeah.
That's the clear implication of Jesus' teaching there in John 15:22. And the same can be said for the church. Paul will talk about this in Romans chapter 2. He talks about those who do not have the law, who by nature live the precepts of the law, have the possibility of salvation. Right? So, you know, we have the possibility of salvation for those who don't have a formal relationship with the church. And here's the key. When the church talks about no salvation outside of the church, that is, you know, what's presupposed in that dogma is this is for people who know it. Lumen Gentium, paragraph 14 says, anyone who knows that Jesus Christ established the church for our salvation and either refuses to enter into it, very important for evangelization, right? Either refuses to enter or remain in it, cannot be saved. And not only will they not be saved, says Lumen Gentium 14 from Vatican II, may I emphasize, Cy Kellett. Vatican Council II. Not only will they not be saved, but they will be held to the harsher judgment because of their knowledge. But those who are ignorant of the truth through no fault of their own, that's a key principle. In fact, the Holy Office back in 1949 issued a statement against a fellow, a priest by the name of Leonard Feeney and his followers, who were taking a very strict view of no salvation outside the church. That would mean if you're not on the registry of a Catholic parish, you're going to hell, which the church never taught. The church never formally defined that, has never taught that. Pope Pius IX, as I said, was very explicitly against that, and taught it on more than one occasion that that is actually wrong. But in the response, the Holy Office makes clear that folks have to be invincibly ignorant of the truth, and then have, you know, as I mentioned before, there must be supernatural faith, perfect charity in their heart. There has to be, you know, the Holy Spirit moving these people in ways often known only to God. And that, again, we don't judge. God will be the judge of these folks. Okay, so the bottom line is, it is possible for folks to be saved outside of the visible boundaries of the church, and as I said, without having a formal relationship with the church. However, in those cases of invincible ignorance and God reaching them in ways we're not privy to necessarily, they are being saved through the church. They have a salvific relationship with the church. And again, Lumen Gentium uses two different words to describe that relationship. They are, you know, it's described those who don't have sacraments can be related to the people of God, whereas those who do have sacraments, our Protestant friends who have two sacraments, right, baptism and marriage, our Orthodox friends who have all seven, they are joined to us because of those sacraments, especially baptism. Right, they are joined to us, albeit imperfectly, and so we pray and we work for full reunification so that there can be full communion. I know this is quite a long answer, but it is. It's a key question. It is. It's a key question, so I hope that was helpful for you.
Angel, I will leave it there. Thank you very, very much for the call. And let us go then to Diana in Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Diana, your question for Tim.
Hello. Yeah, actually, I have two questions. Yes. I was over at the Easter Vigil, and during the readings, a couple of questions came to mind. One of the readings was about Moses' exodus out of Egypt. I was wondering if you know of any type of archaeology exposition to go and see if they can find the chariots in the Red Sea. That
right.
was question number one.
Mm-hmm.
The other question was, is there any type of documentation of when Jesus went to go after the resurrection, go visit his mother?
Yes. There is. I'll answer the latter first. There is an ancient tradition, and hence we have the beautiful statues of the Pietà, that in fact Mary did. Mary was there and received Jesus' body, number one. And then after the resurrection, Jesus made set up a private meeting with his mother. And now folks will say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the scripture explicitly say in John chapter 20, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene? Well, according to this tradition, that is the first public manifestation of Jesus to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. This is why she is referred to in our tradition as the apostle to the apostles. Not because she was actually an apostle, Dan Brown, and the Gospel of Mary. Peter is not the bad guy who is keeping Mary Magdalene down, as we're about to see in a horrific movie that's about to come out. I don't know, or did it already come out?
What, the?
The one on Jesus based on the Gospel of Mary.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of that, actually.
Yeah, oh gosh. I saw some.
I've been focused on the Steven Spielberg movie coming out this summer.
Oh, that one I don't know about. But anyway, the bottom line is, Yes, there is in our tradition a belief, and I believe that, that Jesus privately appeared to Mary first. Now, as far as the chariots, no, there has been no archaeological discovery that I am aware of chariots. You do have some phony stuff going around on the internet. You know, you see an underwater shot of a chariot wheel and that sort of thing.
The internet is awesome.
It is. And all this, you know, like littering the floor of the Red Sea. But, you know, the bottom line is a lot of time has transpired. And so that stuff would have been found, taken, melted down, any gold sold and such. So the expectation to find any of that is, I mean, it's certainly possible. Maybe there was some few left behind and maybe it will be discovered. But to my knowledge, it has not been discovered as of yet.
Diana. That satisfies you?
Well, I kind of disagree with, because I don't think that they had a capability to do diving. And it sounds like when I heard the gospel, the reading, that the chariots were in the middle of the Red Sea. So, and I would think that the water would be very deep, and so they wouldn't have been able to recover those chariots. So I was just
right.
Wondering.
Well, actually,
if
I see. It's a good point, Diana. Although, if you ever go to the Red Sea, you will see it's not like the Atlantic Ocean. It's not even close. In fact, portions of it are very, very shallow. So it would not be difficult for folks to find, and you don't really need any deep water excavation to get to the bottom of the Red Sea. But having said that, that doesn't mean that there may be some found in the future. But as I said, to this so far, to my knowledge, there hasn't been anything found.
Thanks, Diana. Thanks very much. It's a pretty reliable historical document, and it looks like it's about four stories deep, the Red Sea, when it's parted in the Ten Commandments. So would you say
that's right?
It's about four stories deep?
That's about right. And Yul Brynner was – oh, no, he stayed on the side. Oh. You know, that was good.
He's no dope. He's the Pharaoh.
That's right. But
you go get him.
They corrected the Bible on that one, because in the Bible, of course, the Pharaoh was crushed with all his people.
Oh, I –
But it was better for the movie. Yul Brynner's.
Yeah, I know, he's got to live with his choices.
Drops his head in his hands. I mean, come on, that
come
is
on,
one
Yul
of the
Brynner.
Most glorious movies ever made. That's in my top five.
The reason I mentioned the Steven Spielberg one is because it's about the Mortara case, and I'm not looking for it to be very balanced. The kidnapped by the Vatican.
Oh,
the kid that was
fun.
Yeah.
So. Oh yes. Okay.
So I'm reading the book right now, Kidnapped by the Vatican, just to. Because I know we're going to get so many questions on this when it comes out this summer.
Give me that book after you're done.
Okay. All right. But you're going to be busy this summer. You're going to you're going to be preparing for your September talk.
Oh my goodness.
At the big giant Catholic Answers conference.
Can't wait. And somebody's here to talk about it.
Oh, hi, Erica.
Hi.
Erica Olson.
How do you like that segue?
Hi.
I know.
I was going to say, you have like the best segues into something. I'm like, how did you come up with that in
cheesy
your head?
Segues. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, how interesting. And Erica just happens to be here.
Oh, my goodness. Hi.
Erica, the early church was
the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to have a great conference coming up in September. It's the last weekend in September, the 26th through the 29th. We've had record-breaking attendance. I'm hoping to break it again, so please register. Come and support us. Your attendance supports us, and it's going to be a great time. We have ton of speakers.
Father McConey is going to be here next week on the show, so you can listen to him.
You can listen to him next week and decide if you want to come hear him in person. I hear he's really good, and he will be at the conference. We have all of our regulars. Obviously, Tim is going to be there. Carlo's going to be there. Trent's going to be there. Jimmy Aiken's going to be there. But we also have Monsignor Eugene Morris is coming as a guest speaker. You said Father David McConey.
Rod Bennett.
Rod Bennett's coming. And Bishop Frank Cajano from Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I just found out that accompanying Bishop Cajano is Father Paul Check. So we're going to squeeze him into the docket somewhere.
That's wonderful.
He's just amazing.
Despite his relatives.
I know.
He is one of the great priests.
He has some questionable brothers, but...
wonderful man. I got to say this. The part I'm looking forward to is I want to hear, I think Carlo's doing one, and I think Father McConey's doing one on the sacraments in the early church. And I just want to get more of a handle on all seven sacraments present from the first day of the life of the church. Would you say that's right to say that?
Absolutely. Okay. Jesus instituted all seven of them.
All right. So that's what I want to. But just a ton of things. What's your talk going to be?
Mine is going to be on the Blessed Mother. I'm going to focus on. I know. I don't know.
Shocking.
But I'm going to focus on the Theotokos, the Mother of God. But it's going to be fun. I guarantee.
Very good.
It's a great time. I mean, we're going to have line dancing again with Jimmy Akin.
Ooh. Very good.
We have a big banquet dinner. If you buy the full conference ticket, we have a big banquet gala dinner at the end of the conference.
The thing that really draws people in, we should get to. Are we doing 4 hours of live radio?
Oh, yeah.
That's what draws them.
Yeah, we're going to have the show on Thursday and Friday live from the conference.
Okay.
Questions taken from the studio audience. From the audience.
Erica, you should do special early bird pricing.
We do have special early bird pricing.
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. How'd you guess? Between now and July, we have our talks only ticket is
not 90, through July.
Not through July, July. Until July. Yes. So going through July 1st. Okay. And we have early pricing, $95 for a talks only ticket, $195 for the talks plus the banquet gala dinner. It's a steal. It's like 3.5, almost 4 days of talks and mingling with like-minded people and fun events. We have a big evening mixer that everybody gets to go to. We have, like I said, line dancing with Jimmy Akin on Thursday. You're not going to want to miss it. It's great.
Amen. CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you go to sign up. Do sign up. It's a highlight of the year around here, and we'd love to see you there.
And we also have a Q&A panel. Did you mention that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Because I have to say, every year.
People get to ask questions
from the audience.
It's so fun. Yeah. Every year, it's fun because we get a little light.
But we also have
some great questions. It ends up often being the best part of the whole thing, you know?
Come on, join us for it. Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and sign up.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Erica.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Suffering is, instead of seeing it as a participation in Christ's passion, in union with his redeeming sacrifice on the cross, we see it as, oh, we have to avoid pain, we have to avoid suffering. People need to think that it's not about avoiding suffering that we think is meaningless. It's about finding meaning in the suffering that's unavoidable.
Morning Glory. Talking about everything important to today's Catholic. Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour and next hour is Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, the guy who keeps us on the narrow path. Keep us off that wide path.
Amen, brother.
On the narrow path.
And that's Matthew 7:13. I'm trying to stay sharp here.
Come on, you're right. He learned his Bible. Not from us Catholics, but
more and more Catholic, because you'll notice I'm forgetting Scripture more and more.
Well, you're becoming older and older too.
That's that too.
But the but when you were a child, you were a
a Baptist.
A Baptist, okay,
and not just Baptist. We spelled it B-A-B-T-I-S-T, Baptist, and I was a Southern Baptist. You understand?
Yeah. So that
not one of these wishy-washy American Baptists. I'm talking Southern Baptist.
I love the way you say you understand. Like, now, you understand.
I didn't mean to put down my American Baptist friends. Steve Ray was an American Baptist. In fact, all Baptists.
Oh, what a piker. I mean, what I meant is that's...
Baptists make the best Catholics, I'm telling you.
I got to say, I
became a Pentecostal. I became Assembly of God before I converted. Yes.
Okay, so... it's a joyful season. I wanted to start the show off joyfully, and I hadn't said anything about Sri Lanka, but I don't want to go through the whole hour without mentioning it. You are certainly in our prayers, those of you there.
Yeah.
It's just shocking and horrifying and pointless and mean, and I don't know what else to say about it.
Evil.
Evil, my friend. Thank you.
Absolutely evil. And of course, Jesus prophetically said they will kill you and think they are doing God's will in doing so, and you know, we have just some really disturbed individuals who would kill people. I mean, you know, just think about that. Even on the pragmatic level, we want you to become like us, so you can come and kill people too. I mean, wow, this is incredibly evil. Right. And we also should mention there are some few. But we've had some responses against Muslims as well, and it's almost predictable, isn't it?
Because it
seems that the violence from the radical Muslims against Christians has just exploded all over the world in the last few years. Of course, 9/11 was kind of a line of demarcation here, but in the last few years, it seems to be escalating. So what do we do as Christians? You know what we do? We rejoice. Because he is risen.
Praise God.
Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe, as Tertullian said it 1,800 years ago, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And you got to believe, my friend, with all the martyrs in Iraq and Syria, these ISIS fanatics and these other radical Muslim fanatics who are killing people simply for being Christian, they don't know it. But that right there is the seed of the church. And I believe, my friends, as sure as I'm sitting here, we are going to see the resurrection of the church in Iraq, in Syria, where it looks impossible. Our God loves to do the impossible.
Yeah, right. Ask the Romans. Let's go to Caleb in Arkansas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Caleb, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Tim.
Yes. Wanted to say that myself, my wife, three sons, and my brother joined the church here at Easter.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Caleb, thanks for sharing that with us.
You just made our Tuesday, my friend.
And I have a question for you, Tim. Fulton Sheen talks about that God knew Mary from creation, and you know, from the garden he knew her whenever he spoke the first gospel. So I was wondering, you know, in my Protestant background, I learned that Jesus came pre-incarnate, you know, to Abraham, to Joshua, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if, you know, say Jesus was in the tent, this is just my imagination.
Yes.
Jesus is in the tent with Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah looks at him and says, you have the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. You know, he looks up, smiles, says, thanks, I got them from my mama. if Jesus came pre-incarnate, would he have taken the form that he knew he was going to be whenever he came incarnate?
I would say, Caleb, that's not necessarily so. This is pure speculation. But God can do whatever he wants to do, but he doesn't do things that are contrary to the natural order, generally speaking. Now, a miracle, you say, well, wait a minute. A miracle, by definition, exceeds the created order. Yes, but it never contradicts. You know, in other words, God doesn't perform a miracle by growing a third arm on Cy Kellett. He will perform a miracle healing. thank God. He'll perform a miracle healing the arm of Cy Kellett. And so that's why do I say that? Because I believe that when God, and there is reason to believe what you're saying, my friend, you know, there is a ancient tradition in the church that says the fourth man in the fire in the book of Daniel appears as a son of God, says Nebuchadnezzar. And that may well have been a theophany or a pre-incarnational manifestation of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But to say that he took flesh, the 46 chromosomes from the Blessed Virgin Mary in view of what would happen all those years later, I personally think is a stretch, because I just don't believe that's the way God does things. But, you know, who are you, Tim Staples? Well, how do you know that God, you know, God can do what God wants to do, but certainly that's not revealed. I would say that what we see in sacred scripture, there's good reason to say that was a theophany, a manifestation, a pre-incarnational manifestation, and most likely of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Certainly in the case of Daniel, the scripture seems to indicate that when it says, like, he appears as a son of God. It appears. Church has never given us anything definitive on that, but certainly, yeah, I would say that there are theophanies, that is, manifestations of God pre-incarnational, but the incarnation itself is a unique event in our tradition. When we talk about the incarnation, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's a singular event where, you know, the second person of the Blessed Trinity assumed a human nature, and that becomes a substantial union that is irrevocable, right? This is not, as some heretics in the early centuries of the church would say, an accidental union. This is not an accidental union. This is a substantial union. So when God becomes incarnate, he is incarnate forever. There's no going back. This is why this is a unique event. It will never happen again, never happened before in our tradition. But anyway, it's a great question and a great thing to ponder, Caleb.
All right, Caleb.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to, at the risk of seeming really dumb,
yes,
I'm going to ask a follow-up,
okay,
to Caleb's question. And I'm not trying to make you laugh. This is a genuine question.
Okay.
Jesus rises in his glorified body, risen from the dead. He passes through walls.
Yes.
He appears and disappears. Clearly, his body can do things that our bodies cannot do.
That is a fact.
Is it impossible to think that he can also, I'm embarrassed to say it even, travel in time,
right,
and go back and be with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Right. And that is another question.
Thank you for not laughing.
No. That's another question. Hey, there's a lot. There are folks who disagree, and legitimately so, as Catholics on this point. I argue with St. Thomas Aquinas that time travel backward is impossible.
Oh,
because it's God's will for that to have already occurred.
Oh.
And this is in the time-space continuum. So in other words, you can never be born again. That is, not spiritually born again, but go back in your womb.
Yeah.
Nicodemus was wrong, and be born again. You're not being born right now. You're not dying right now.
Oh.
No. There is a real... God created us as a temporal reality. And so we go through time really and truly, and so much so that the past can never be repeated. Yesterday can never be repeated again. Even God can't change yesterday.
Thank you, Tim Staples, for taking my question seriously. We got a lot more. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't dialed yet, 888-31-TRUTH. Tim Staples back for another hour of Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.